The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. And it reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I want to speak to young people as well as our entire congregation from the thought, what do you want most out of life? What do you want most out of life? If someone were to ask you to list the three things you want most out of life, that list might include things like money, houses, cars, clothes, to be attractive as you age, to be the life of the party at least once, to know what you want and have the confidence to go after it, to go to a major sports championship like the Super Bowl, have at least one true best friend, be remembered in a positive way after death, know that you made a difference in someone else's life, feel important to others, live each day without regret. Maybe one of those things would be to have children or grandchildren, to find meaningful work, create a positive work-life balance, be more productive with each minute of the day, be recognized as talented or even brilliant, grow old without losing your mind or control of your body, have plenty of energy to enjoy each day, to age gracefully without wrinkles and without going bald. The reality is that most of the things we want out of life are often viewed from the perspective of age. I have learned that when I was younger, there were certain things that were more important then. But as I have recently celebrated another birthday, those things I wanted then, most have changed in my life. Most of what we want, I believe, fits into three categories. I believe we all want peace. I believe we all want some joy. I believe we all want security. First, there is the desire for peace. We do want peace in our homes, don't we? We want our children to behave, our spouses to act responsibly. We want our in-laws to stop acting like outlaws and our extended family to handle their own mess and stop interfering with our mess. We would call that sweet peace. We want peace on our jobs too. We want all the gossiping at the water cooler to stop. We want the negative emails and judgmental confrontations to disappear. We want promotions to be based on merit rather than favoritism and raises to be based on worth rather than obligation. That would promote peace. We want peace in our schools. We would like to be able to get along with everyone. We want a school free from bullying. We want teachers that will help us learn better and counselors to help us chart a career path. We want peace in our neighborhoods free from drugs and violence, a neighborhood where everyone looked out for one another, a neighborhood where there were opportunities for the youth as well as our seniors. And we want peace in our church. We want the leaders to lead and the followers to follow. We want the children to obey their parents and the parents to be worthy of that honor. We want sainthood to be the order of the day and sin to be put on the run. But think about it now. Would any of this give us real peace? Peace is more than just freedom from strife. It is more than reconciliation between two people. It is more than just sweet communion of the saints. Real peace, the kind Jesus spoke of in our text, has quite a different meaning. The peace Jesus spoke about is the kind of peace that binds us and joins us and weaves us together with God and others. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it means freedom from trouble, but it means much more. It also encompasses experiencing the highest good, enjoying the very best, and possessing all the inner good possible. It means wholeness and soundness. It means prosperity in the widest sense of the word. not monetarily, but spiritually. It means that your soul is blossoming and flourishing in spite of your surroundings. The peace that you and I desire, peace in the world, is merely escapism. It just means that we want to avoid trouble. We want to escape from reality and refuse to face life head on. We desire the kind of peace that brings us pleasure, satisfaction, contentment, the absence of trouble, positive thinking, or the complete denial of problems. But the peace of God that passes all understanding is a special kind of peace. It is the kind that gives us tranquility and composure in the midst of turmoil and strife. It is the kind of peace that breeds calm in the midst of challenging circumstances and situations. It is more than feelings. It is even more than attitude and thought. It's also a piece of conquest. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus made it clear that it is a peace that is not dependent upon conditions and environment. It is a peace that sorrow, danger, suffering, and experience cannot diminish. Have you experienced that kind of peace lately? It is also a peace of assurance. Paul reaffirmed this in Romans 8:28 when he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." This kind of peace gives us unquestionable confidence and the sure knowledge that our lives, whether we're young or old, are in God's hands. This peace can only come from Christ. Jesus's promise to all mankind is an intimate peace, a peace of the highest good. It settles the mind, it settles and strengthens the will and establishes the heart. Not only is there a desire for peace, but there is a desire for joy. Our scripture text defines this joy by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." My brothers and sisters, an untroubled heart is more than sheer carnal bliss. The word for joy, kara, means inner gladness. It is a deep-seated pleasure that overrides difficulty and ignites a cheerful heart. And I stopped by to let us know and to remind us that a cheerful heart leads to cheerful behavior. Let me say that again. A cheerful heart leads to cheerful behavior. Joy comes first from the knowledge that Christ has been resurrected and has returned to the Father. Jesus said, "I go away and I come again unto you." Christ's death on the cross and his ability to rise from the grave and ascend to heaven should cause men and women to celebrate. That same cross is the source of our deliverance from sin and eternal death. Did not Jesus say, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me"? The joy we chase after is fleeting and short-lived. Like the superficial peace we desire, it is temporary and transitory. But the joy of Christ is permanent and undying. It is tied directly to Christ's power to overcome the world. We rejoice in the resurrection and ascension of Christ because it sets us free. It is the source of new life, the source of our hope for all eternity. That is why we sing, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away." God's demonstration of his power to overcome the natural order of life is enough to shout about. But there is more. The demonstration of God's power through Christ on the cross confirms our faith. Jesus proved and verified just what he promised his disciples and us, that he would leave, but that he would return after 3 days, then ascend to his Father and send us the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Are you shouting for joy this morning? Did not Jesus say, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full"? So peace and joy come from Jesus. But then finally, there is our desire for security. The kind of security that removes worry and chases away anxiety. That kind of security comes from two sources. First, security comes from knowing that Jesus conquered Satan. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, our security comes from knowing that the one on whom you and I depend, which is Jesus, has conquered the one whom we desire to reject, which is Satan. Our security rests in the knowledge that Jesus has overcome Satan. Satan tried to destroy Jesus. He tried to destroy Jesus with lust. He tried to destroy Jesus with greed. He tried to destroy Jesus with selfishness. But no temptation could annihilate our Christ. For Hebrews 4 and 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So our security comes from knowing that because Christ faced the same temptations we face, whether young or old, he conquered them all, and we can too. Jesus said he would do it, and Jesus did it. Our faith gives us security because Jesus was obedient to the Father. God commanded Christ to die for our sins, and he obeyed. So the next time you find yourself desiring peace, be sure you are not desiring the superficial yearning of quiet solitude. The next time you find yourself desiring joy, be sure you are not desiring a shallow moment of happiness, pleasure, or excitement. The next time you find yourself praying for security, why not pray for the ultimate security, the security that is only found in Jesus Christ? He is the source of our peace. He is the source of our joy, and he is the source of our security. And the reason why is because he paid the debt that nobody else could ever pay. He lifted the burden that nobody else could ever lift. He made the sacrifice that no one else could make. He solved the problem that no one else could solve. He defeated the enemy that no one else could defeat. And he established the way that nobody else could ever establish. And that is the way to God, the way to peace, the way to joy, the way to forgiveness, the way to freedom and security, and most importantly, the way to eternal life. Even though he knew that he would be oppressed and afflicted, he died for our peace, our joy, and our security. Even though he knew that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, he died for our peace, our joy, and our security. Even though he knew that he would be despised and rejected, still he died for our peace, our joy, and our security. Even though he knew that he would be a man of sorrows, betrayed by a friend, he died for our peace, our joy, and our security. And even though he knew that he would be crucified on an old rugged cross, he died for our peace and our joy and our security. How amazing that Christ would endure such suffering. How amazing that Christ would atone for our sins. How amazing that Christ would allow himself to be mocked for our sake. How amazing that Christ would submit to the cross so that we could wear a crown. What do you want most out of life? Do you find peace in him? Do you find joy in him? Are you secure in him? If you are not, won't you come to him? The message of God for the people of God. Maybe there's someone on this worship call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You've been looking for peace. You've been looking for joy. You've been looking for security. But I've stopped by to remind you that those things can only truly be found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you desire to be saved, I ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe this prayer by faith, you are saved.